Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Burke Allen Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day. Our guest today is author Stephen Aaron Gray. The book is Ant Farm, and it's sort of Orwellian. You might think about Animal Farm. It's subtitled A Novel About What's Bugging Society, and boy, there are a lot of things that are apropos there. If you'd like to be a part of the program, we'd love to hear from you at 718-506-1944. Author Stephen Aaron Gray, welcome to the Burke Allen Show.
Thank you so much for having me on.
So let's start with the obvious question. What is Ant Farm all about?
Well, the way I've been describing it to people is, in a nutshell, is that it's about a free society that deteriorates into a totalitarian society. And it's a fictional story, but it should seem very familiar to people because there's a lot of parallels between what's happening in the story and everyday life, whether you live in the U.S. or Canada or really anywhere else in the world right now. You're going to notice a lot of parallels between what's happening in the book and what you see around you. And then the other part to it is that it's really allegory and it's a metaphor. The main characters are actually insects. They're ants. And the villains in this, for the most part, are cockroaches. So I've used these creatures to tell this story.
The evil white cockroaches and there's Anton Indigo, Antria Violet, and a thousand other ants trying to escape the cockroaches. It's actually, a fun kind of book if you take the politics away and the mm-hmm. current events. And you touch on everything in there. And by the way, we should tell our listeners the website, if you'd like to find out more about the book, is antfarmbook.com. It's available in bookstores everywhere from Headline Books. But, one thing I found that was interesting about this book is that, it touches on so many topics that are in the news today, private security and health care and alternative currency and foreign aid and military intervention and quality assurance and crime. And, I could just go on and on and on. But it's in the context of the story of these cockroaches on this plantation and taking on a thousand ants who are trying to escape freedom on Ant Farm. And when they arrive, although their lives are not necessarily utopian, these little bugs find themselves with a lot more freedom and prosperity than they ever had in previous times. So in the book, the question is, can the ants maintain that positive new lifestyle? And, there are an awful lot of parallels to what's going on in the world today. I thought it was interesting, Stephen, that I think the Democrats and Republicans equally will like this book. On the Democrat side, they'll like it because it's sort of critical of the conservative way in which Republicans treat the world today. And Republicans will probably like it because it's sort of critical of liberalism. So there's something to take away on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Unfortunately, Democrats will also dislike it for the same reasons that Republicans like it and vice versa. But
right.
Yeah, I mean, on the positive side, they'll each find something to relate to. Democrats and progressives tend to value, individual freedom in the social sphere. And this book heavily promotes that kind of ideology. And Republicans or conservatives generally tend to value personal freedom in the financial sphere, and this book addresses that as well. So, this book is really coming from the philosophy that people should be free to do as they choose, as long as they're not infringing on anybody else's rights, in any area and any walk of life. it's really the only consistent message I can think of. If you're for some freedom but not total freedom, it's really an inconsistent message, I think. And I don't think it's a particularly moral message. So hopefully this book will also work towards showing Democrats and Republicans that liberty is liberty. It's not just liberty isn't just one or two issues of being free. It's about all issues being free.
Our guest is Stephen Aaron Gray. The book is Ant Farm, a novel about what's bugging society from Headline Books. And you can find out more at antfarmbook.com. It's available at bookstores everywhere, all the online stores like barnesandnoble.com and amazon.com. And this is sort of a tribute to that George Orwell classic. And so I have to ask you, as an author, you know, were you worried about being seen as a knockoff of Orwell, or is it more in sort of that tribute vein?
No, I haven't been worried about seeing it as a knockoff because this was intentionally done from the start. I made it very clear that this is definitely an homage to Orwell. I think even the dedication in the first page is to him. So nobody can read the book and say, what's this guy trying to pull off here? Doesn't he know we'll notice? Of course I know people will notice. I designed it that way. And it's because he used such an easy to understand structure, and he, you know, in his book, he used farm animals to talk about state-sponsored communism, and you know, the structure lends itself so well to being able to get into those ideas in ways that political lay people could easily understand. And I really wanted to introduce political lay people and really even young adults to the ideas of liberty if they've never really explored them before. And so using creatures in a fictional story to convey those messages just seemed like a great way. I love the way Orwell did it. And so, yeah, I've certainly borrowed heavily from his style. It's also really, in many ways, a companion piece to that book. I think, of course, my book, Ant Farm, can stand alone, and you can pick it up and read it without ever having even heard of Orwell's book, and you'll do just fine. But if you have read Animal Farm first and you read my book, Ant Farm, afterwards, it will add an extra dimension to that. There are certain storylines in his book that I've intentionally tried to parallel in mine, and then there's certain parts of his book where I've made intentional divergences from that, and I think people will pick up on that, and that was part of the point.
I think you're right. I mean, I think there's a drastically different message in your book. But what I love about Ant Farm, and I guess I loved about the Orwell book when I read it for the first time in junior high school, is exactly what you said. It breaks it down, these somewhat complex issues, or at least they're portrayed in the media as very complex. But when you put it in the context of these animal stories, then there's really that aha moment for a lot of people. And essentially it makes what can be somewhat dry topics, care and private security and, you know, the economy, it gives them sort of an interesting, different twist. Was that difficult to put all of these different messages that you touch on in there, the global economic crisis, gun control, drug prohibition, you know, National Security Act, you go on and on. Was it tough to put those into the book without coming across as preachy and sort of forcing them in there, shoehorning them in?
Yeah, definitely. That was difficult. And I think to some extent, it probably does sound a little bit preachy, but that's because I'm an author with a voice and I have a message. And I think that message is pretty clear in the book. So I just hope it's not annoyingly preachy. There's a difference between being preachy and being irritating. And so my book definitely is pushing for a message, but my intention was to do it in not such a heavy-handed way. So hopefully that's the case with this book. You know, it's only 200 pages long, so to cram 40 issues into that, aside from being irritating, which I don't think it is, it's just hard to get that much packed into such a short book and still have it all make sense. And a couple of people have asked me, well, why didn't you just focus on two or three issues? And the reason is because if I had just focused on two or three issues, I don't think the message would have been clear that freedom should apply to everything. I didn't want people to walk away from the book thinking, okay, well, people should be free to own weapons and people should have economic freedom. Because you could walk away from that message and think, but still, I'm against gay marriage and I'm against all kinds of other things. I really wanted to show how freedom is freedom, whether you're talking about what kind of substances people want to ingest into their bodies, where they may want to send their kids to school, just everything across the board. It's really all the same. Whatever you're talking about, you should be able to do what you want and let your neighbor do what they want and stop trying to force other people to do what you want them to do. If you don't like something that somebody else is doing, you don't have to do it in your own life, but let them do it in their lives. And so, when you line up 40 issues one against the next, you start to see these patterns. And I hope that people start to notice that these things are all part of the same of ideas.
Stephen Aaron Gray is our guest today. The book is Ant Farm. It's on the publisher's page imprint of Headline Books and available online at antfarmbook.com and bookstores everywhere. When you're talking about freedoms and liberties, you very much sound like a libertarian. And I noticed that Gary Johnson, who ran for president on that ticket, did a blurb for the book. And he said, too often we seem to forget that liberty and personal freedom are the true American values. Ant Farm is a great and entertaining reminder. Do you see yourself, you fashion yourself as a libertarian? Do you fall into that world?
It depends on who you ask, right? Because different people have a different idea of the word libertarian. I used to say I was a libertarian, and then I would meet people that say, oh, well, then you must believe in X, Y, and Z. And I'd say, no, I don't believe in X, Y, and Z. Why do you think that? And they say, well, because you said you're a libertarian. So I've sort of stopped using that word because I've met people who say they're libertarians, and at the same time, they think that the U.S. military should be going in and invading several countries. And I don't think that, so am I a libertarian? I don't know. I prefer to just say that I'm pro-liberty, and if people want to ask me about individual issues, I'll tell them, but it's going to come across as pro-liberty every time. So am I a libertarian? I guess that depends on your definition of the word libertarian. I think that definition has been so convoluted and so co-opted that for me to say that I'm a libertarian doesn't really do any justice to my points of view.
And yet in Ant Farm, and certainly in Animal Farm, the Orwell book, there's a whole lean towards the liberal mindset of government solving everyone's problems, where on the other side, in the conservative world, you have an awful lot of folks that tend to think that the conservative movement has gotten bogged down in their focus on social issues. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of funny. The rhetoric from the liberal side is that, generally speaking, we do need government. People aren't always trustworthy enough to take care of all their problems on their own. And then the rhetoric on the conservative side is, no, more personal freedom. People should be able to make their own decisions. But the problem I've noticed through the years is that that's all it is rhetoric on the conservative side. If you look at their actions and the laws that they try to pass and the policies they implement, it really is just as controlling as the liberal side. It is just rhetoric. They don't follow through on that. If you look at each, at least in the U.S., if you look at every Republican administration, they do grow the size and scope of government just as much and sometimes more than the Democrat that was in office before. So the rhetoric is nice, but if there's no follow-through, that's almost worse.
The book is called Ant Farm. It's a novel about what's bugging society. And if you loved Animal Farm by George Orwell, if you read that book as a teen or a high school student, maybe a college student, you're going to love Ant Farm. It's by author Stephen Aaron Gray, from the publisher's page imprint of Headline Books. The website is antfarmbook.com. That's antfarmbook.com. And it's available online at amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, and of course, bookstores all across the country. Stephen, when we come back after the break, I want to talk to you about your unique global perspective that maybe lots of authors with a political stance don't necessarily have. you've got some unique experiences that speak to that, and I want to get into that right after this on the Burke Allen Show. Hang on.
Over 14 million people witnessed his emotional story of survival and triumph on national television.
I've been doing this for so long, like ever since I was a kid.
Millions more voted him their favorite in a landslide win.
The winner is...
And now, you can be a part of the experience live.
Landau Eugene Murphy
Jr. Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.
Ain't that a kick in the head?
Your America's Got Talent winner.
I've got you.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.
Under my
live. Performing classics from the Great American Songbook and his Columbia Records debut CD, That's Life.
That's Life.
Landau Eugene Murphy Jr.'s That's Life Tour. The one concert event this year you absolutely can't miss.
See Landau Eugene Murphy Jr. on tour all over the USA. Complete show dates available at LandauMurphyJr.com. Like that anymore, said Greg Ken back in the early 80s, and maybe that's not necessarily the case. I'm Burke Allen. Welcome to the Burke Allen Program at 718-506-1944. That's the number to call. A few questions for our guest, author Stephen Aaron Gray, who may take issue with They Don't Write Them Like That Anymore. That's why he's written Ant Farm. It's sort of a companion piece to Animal Farm, the classic from George Orwell. It's called a novel about what's bugging society, and critics everywhere love it. Mark Edge from Free Talk Live said he was engrossed by this page-turner. And it is that. It's a page-turner. And it's one, I think, Steve, that is informed by your sort of unique experience. If folks aren't familiar with Stephen Aaron Gray, not only is he an author, but he's sort of this globe-trotting, internationally known DJ Freaky Flow. And you're one of these guys that does huge raves for college-age kids all over the world with thousands and thousands of students. So you have literally traveled the globe. Not only that, you were born in Canada, live in Los Angeles now. So how has that global perspective informed your writing of Ant Farm?
Yeah, happy to answer that. I'll just make one small correction. I was born in the U.S. I was born in Philadelphia, but I moved to Canada when I was very little, too little to remember. So, it's almost true. I lived in Canada for almost 30 years before I moved down to Los Angeles in search of warmer weather and In-N-Out Burgers. But
love the In-N-Out Burger.
Oh, my gosh, they're so good. But that aside, yes, I've been traveling the world for many years. I've been DJing for about 21 years, and like you said, playing these big events all around the world. Lately, I'd say in the last 10 years, I've been focused on North America. The wear and tear of international travel started to drain my energy. But for a good number of years, I was playing in Germany and Austria and England and Hong Kong and Japan. And I started to also get to notice other things about these places besides just the clubs I was playing in. I started to notice cultural differences between what I had grown up with and what was happening overseas. And I started to notice a little nuanced things, like, for example, in Japan, it's really a very rigid system. It's not very customer service friendly. And I started noticing little things like this that sort of I would ask around and say, well, where do you think this stems from? And people would tell me, like, for example, when I was in Austria, this one girl on the bus there was telling me that things are still very very old school because there's still influence from state communism that has since been vanquished years ago. And so because of that that influence, you start to notice little things as far as personal freedoms go in all these different places. And one thing I generally noticed, one general observation, was that the places that are more free, that have less government restriction, tend to be more prosperous, less suffering. People are generally happier. You know, it's not a 100% steadfast rule, but it's certainly a tendency. And then that these things that I noticed were reinforced really by supplemental reading I would do or studying I would do about other countries where I wasn't visiting. And those studies also came in and reinforced that notion that places where government is more restrictive are generally more dangerous places to be, and the quality of life is lower. And you compare that to places where the government doesn't meddle in people's affairs as much, and life tends to be better.
Do you have a sense of this concept of American exceptionalism that you hear bandied about an awful lot by conservative pundits, since you've been all over the world, and as you said, you know, spent three decades in Canada, although you were born here in the U.S. Do you get that feeling that American exceptionalism is a real thing? And if so, is it as strong as it once was, or is it on the downward slope?
Well, certainly personal freedom in the U.S. is on a downward slope. I was reading one of these economic freedom indexes. I can't remember if it was in the Mises or the Cato one, or maybe some other organization, but this year the U.S. has slipped even further down the chart. Countries like Hong Kong, I believe New Zealand, and strangely, even Canada, are higher on this economic freedom index. So right now there's nothing exceptionally free about living in the U.S. Of course it's a better place to live than so many other places in the world, but that shouldn't mean that we stop and become content and say, we got it better off than other people do. Let's just shut up and be happy, because when you do that, things can easily slide further into more totalitarianism. You know, police brutality incidents are increasing. Freedom is slipping away. The dollar is becoming worth less and less and less. Of course, we don't live in a terrible place, but it could certainly become terrible in 10, 20, 30 years if things continue in this way. And hopefully my book Ant Farm will at least educate people enough to realize that this is happening around them, and hopefully try and make some kind of change instead of just going along with the status quo, which is definitely going in the wrong direction.
Our guest is author Stephen Aaron Graves. You mentioned the book is Ant Farm. It's a novel about what's bugging society, from the Publisher's Page imprint of Headline Books. And you can find out more about Stephen at antfarmbook.com. As we do this interview, you're calling in from Canada. You're there doing some book signings and presumably some tour work with your DJ thing. And as this has happened, there's been some gun violence in Canada, which is a pretty unusual. And I wanted to sort of get a sense of what you're hearing from Canadian media about these incidents in Ottawa and your take on gun control as it comes across in the book Ant Farm.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I did just land in Canada last night, so I haven't had much time to watch the news, but certainly as I flip the channels, it's on every single channel. There's also this common misconception, even that I used to hold until I researched it a little, that Canada is a much safer place than the U.S. Because guns are much harder to get. And it turns out that isn't true at all, much to my surprise a few years ago when I looked into it. And anybody I tell about the statistic is really floored, but I compared notes from the FBI's crime stats to Canada's crime stats, and it turns out that Canada has almost double the violent crime per capita than the U.S., almost double, and violent crime is categorized as murder, rape, assault, and armed robbery, I believe, those four things. If you add those up per capita, almost double in Canada. Murder incidents are less per capita, but total violent crime is almost double. And you also find, just looking in the U.S., that regions where there are less restrictive gun laws generally have less violent crime, and regions where there are more restrictive gun laws have more violent crime. And, you know, there's sort of the obvious conclusion there. I mean, it goes against conventional wisdom. Generally, you think, and certainly I used to think, that if people have access to guns, you know, that can make for a more violent place. But when you follow out the logic, it's just not true, because if more people have guns, more people, criminals, are afraid to mess with the average person because that average person might have a gun. So anyway, getting back to this issue in Canada about what's happening, I don't know if they know the full motivation of all of the murderers yet, but it seems like they're motivated by ISIS ideologies. I believe some of the shooters have had, you know, on some of their social media, they'll have a flag of ISIS, and they're sympathetic to their cause, which, of course, is a terrible, murderous cause. At the same time, they're responding because apparently Canada last week said, we're going to support the U.S. Airstrikes of ISIS. And I think, you know, we're seeing some of the sentiment from these terrorists that paralleled what happened in 2001 on 9/11, which is that they want to be left alone in the countries that they inhabit. And if then they're saying, if you don't leave us alone, we're going to bring the terror back to your doorstep in your own country. And of course, that's not a solution. That's a terrible way to do things. But at the same time, if the U.S. government and the Canadian government was not meddling in their affairs, I don't think we'd be seeing this. That's not to say that it's the victim's fault or that anybody deserves this. Of course not. All I'm saying is that if they weren't doing this, this wouldn't be happening. These terrorists are responding in completely the wrong way, and they've got to be punished, and they've got to be stopped. But also, one of the best ways to stop them is to not upset them in the first place with things that these governments shouldn't be doing anyway.
Stephen Aaron Gray has been our guest today. The book is Ant Farm, and it's available on the Publisher's Page imprint of Headline Books. We've just got a couple of minutes left, but I want to ask you, what you, in an ideal world, as an author who's put his blood, sweat, and tears into this book, what would you like for readers to take away from it? When they have finished that book, this 200-odd pages, and sat down afterwards, what's the takeaway, if you could wave a magic wand and make it so?
Yeah, well, hopefully I don't have to wave the wand. Hopefully my wishes will just come true by virtue of the wishes of the book. But the intention is, hopefully, you know, you finish the book, you put it down, and you think, you know, I never really thought about these things before, and I never realized that even though they can seem worlds apart, telling people that, you know, if a government tells somebody, you're not allowed to do cocaine, and if a government tells somebody, you're not allowed to marry who you want, even though those things sound very different, they're really just a different side of the same coin. They're closely connected issues. Both involve somebody else telling you you're not allowed to do what you want to do, even though you're not going to hurt anybody else. And more importantly, if you try to do any of those things, we, the state, are going to use violence against you. I think a lot of people also don't realize that state power is really just violence or the threat of violence. People don't associate that violence with state power, but it's there. You know, if you talk to sort of the average person about it, about a law, they'll say, yeah, I think the law is good. And then you ask them, well, you're for violence? And they'll say, no, of course I'm not for violence. But I'm hoping that the book, that Ant Farm, really shows people that if you are for state control, then you're advocating for violence against peaceful people, and we really ought to stop that.
If you're a lover of liberty, a lover of freedom, you'll love Ant Farm. The author is Stephen Aaron Gray. The book is available in bookstores everywhere. You can find out more at antfarmbook.com. Stephen, thanks for being on the Burke Allen Show today.
Oh, thank you.
Live from our studios in Washington, D.C., I'm Burke Allen. Thanks for listening. Now, go out and make it a great day.